The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
All right, let's do this thing, man. Welcome on in, everybody. Toba, Leroy, and Beast. Leroy is out today, so this is very exciting. We're at the Seminole Hard Rock Event Center for the Rock and Roll Poker Open. And we got some Canes royalty up in the house, man. Damian Lewis doing the show with us today. What's up, Damian? How are you, man?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Thank you guys for having me on today.
Oh, it's going to be a pleasure. It's going to have a lot of fun over the next couple of hours, so thank you for swinging by.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of stuff to get to. Beast, what's going on with you, man?
Nothing much, bro, and he's bigger than Leroy, so he'll keep you in check. No shenanigans for you today.
We'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll see. We'll see.
We already getting the talk going, huh? What's going on, man? What's up, Beast? How you doing, baby?
Good, D-Lew. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm chilling like a flat tire. You know what I'm saying?
If you guys want to get on down here, you got the Rock and Roll Poker Open going on, $360 buy-in, $1 million guaranteed opening event now through November 18th. Of course, they got the $2 million guaranteed championship starting up on November 23rd, so that's good living for everybody around here as they're about to hit a recess. Heat get a big win last night as they needed that. They were bleeding real bad, 3 straight losses for the Heaters, and they were taking on the lowly Brooklyn Nets. I predicted they were going to lose to the Brooklyn Nets about a week and a half ago because that's normally what they do. I thought the homestand was going to go good. Because usually when the Heat play good teams, they play better than when they play the trash teams, Damian. And it was too trash yesterday because they were going off the bad injury of Caris LeVert that went down. They didn't have their best big man out there. So the Heat were able to stave off when we were all on a group text last night. We were talking about, we were like, man, we just feel like the collapse is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And they were able to hold it off. So it was,
yes, they were. Yeah, they did a good job. You know, they were able to come in. They started strong and they finished even better. And I think I like to see that more from them than what we've seen in the past, to be able to stay in the game and then find a way to win at the end. With this one, they led it from front to end. So it's pretty good.
No, it was the first time this year they've led a game from wire to wire. I'm like,
this
is very unfamiliar.
I was trying to think about that last night. Is that literally the first game they've led?
Yes.
The whole time?
Eric was saying that the entire time on the broadcast.
Wow.
He's like, they have not led all the way in a game. And there was like a couple times where you felt a little bit dicey. I mean, you know, Christ, in the second quarter, it was like the centers were in such foul trouble. UD came in and playing. Although I was swooning for Coach UD. I was liking that. Coach UD was getting up in everybody's face. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, Udonis, we need you to play. And we're like, what?
What? What are you talking
Get
about?
Get him on out there. Get him on out there. Got a bucket. It was huge. So yeah. It was fun
to
see.
They did a good job. They were able to stay, you know, to stop the runs that the Nets were having. You know, they would stove it off. The Nets would make a little run, and they'd kind of get their composure back and were able to put points on the board and get steals and things like that and just kept the energy up. So I thought they really did well in that facet of the game, too.
Yeah, well, we'll get to some comments from Tyler Johnson after the game I found real interesting.
Ha!
But before that, let's get to some headlines. What do you got, Beast?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
All right, I guess the big stories we'll get to the Heat team meeting in a bit, but University of Miami Athletic Director Blake James on our sister station 560 WQAM said certainly he will meet with Mark Richt at the end of the year, but as far as coaching changes or changes to the offensive scheme or anything, he'll leave that up to him.
All right. I mean, like, not even like a talk?
They'll discuss, but
not even like a not even like they go to Prime and like just spitball over some lobster bisque. Like, let's just talk a little bit. Like, hey, Mark, you think you got a little bit too much on your plate? Something.
I mean, maybe there'll be a slight kind of hint, like, you know, hey, could you pass the salt, give up the play calling, and can I have an extra napkin? But I don't know, man.
Do you think maybe you should replace Dorsey with your son with Dorsey? And can I get a roll?
Where's that waiter? Yeah, I don't.
Oh, so. I would like the filet mignon with a side of OC.
D-Lew, what's your take on that, man?
Man, I feel like it's a PC thing to say. Blake's a great guy. I don't think he's going to do anything where he's going to put Rick, you know, in a situation where he so-called has to make a decision in a public way. I know they're going to go back and reevaluate, and they're going to do what's best for the team. So if you're having an OC come in and call plays, is what seems to be the best thing, then I wouldn't be surprised to see that. If it's some changes in some of the positions, you know, for as positional coaches and things like that, I wouldn't be surprised to see that either. At the end of the day, the team has to perform better than what they've performed this year. And I feel like everybody across the board understands and know that we've had a letdown in performance from our guys, you know, whether it be what's going on with the players and, you know, them just, you know, having a down year, or if it's coaching. We don't know what the real answer is, but they do, and I know they'll figure it out.
There's been a lot of frustrating stuff. And the other thing that we've been having a lot of talk on this show about, like, the Heat and, you know, the idea of investing in like, a free agent, which, like, Riley calls the whale. Like, who should you go out there? But you got to find the right whale to go out there, and then you got to live with the repercussions of investing that.
Right.
And the one thing you can say about Blake is Mark Richt is his whale. Like, he went out and he got a big-time head coach, invested a lot of money in him.
Right.
He kind of does have to deal with the ramifications of, hey, these are the things we talked about when I hired you. Now, like, how much time does he get before he has to stick his beak in and say, all right, we got to switch some things up. It's enough already. But I can understand. I get why he doesn't want to rock the boat too much after last year.
Well, I mean, this is a management question, really, is we always get into whether we take shots at the meddling owner, right, that gets involved in areas he doesn't really know about. And in this case, like, Blake James is operating as the CEO of the athletic department. Like, I understand him making a recommendation or maybe, you know, what have you, but do you really want him meddling in the X's and O's and that aspect of football? I don't know if that's his place.
I don't think it is, and I feel like that's why they'll have a conversation and they'll lay out what happened this season and what Coach Richt think happened and, you know, what things that they can do to make the football team better. What are things they need to correct, and, you know, and what do they need to change direction with some of the players? You know, and they'll get that thing figured out. And I think, you know, Blake will step back and allow Richt to do his thing. I mean, Rick's not new to this. You know, he's built teams over the years in Georgia. You know, he's had a good record while he's at Florida State as an OC. So he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get the team on the right track. The question is, are we going to, you know, as a fan base, is going to be patient enough to let it happen? And B, is it going to be they recruiting the right guys and making the right moves to make it happen? And I think in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, we'll know the answer to that. And at that point is when you really can sit down and say, hey, we got to go in a different direction, or, hey, you know, Coach Rick's actually doing a great job. You know, I feel like we're looking at the players that he's bringing in now. They're young. They haven't been as productive as we want them to be. He's done a lot of winning with Al Golden's players, and let's just be honest, and that's what it's been. So now that wave of his kids are coming in, and they're playing. Now let's see how they pick up the torch and continue it moving forward.
All right, we got some football tonight in the NFL. It's what's my doom pick. We got the Packers and Seahawks. I don't know what to do with that still. It's 8:20.
What do you mean you don't do with that?
What's your stomach?
I know the game. I know what to do with it. There's a 500-mile rule, but still, it's. I mean, I'm going to bet against Aaron Rodgers.
We just saw the Packers play the other day, right?
I'm going to bet against Aaron Rodgers. Is that what I'm going to do?
I'll be honest with you. I saw the Packers. I wasn't crazily impressed by their offense. They popped some runs, you know, but against the Dolphins, but I mean, I think Seattle's going to be a little bit more stout on defense than what the Dolphins are. So,
all right, well,
what is the mileage there, Robbie? Because we have this 500-mile
rule.
1933. Yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, come on,
way
man.
Way over the 500-mile rule. There's no 447 rule this week. And then I know.
Oh, so we don't talk about anything within 500 miles? Well, what's the 500 mile? What is the 500-mile
right,
rule?
Robbie, explain the 500-mile rule.
Y'all be on here. Y'all talking about numbers. I don't know what the hell going on.
Robbie, open up the book of Robbie's rules and let him know.
All right, so the 500-mile rule, Damian Lewis, you haven't figured this out over the past couple years, is that on Thursday Night Football, on a short week, it has to be on a short week, if the road team is traveling more than 500 miles, they almost always get crushed, and the home team almost always covers the spread.
So let me ask you a question.
Yep.
The Panthers didn't travel over 500 miles when they went to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that was an absolute ass whooping.
I agree with that, but if they travel less than 500 miles, it doesn't mean they're going to win. That means you just treat it like a regular Sunday game. Then the travel's not a factor.
Yeah, it wasn't 500 miles, so we don't really factor it. We just got to go with the gut or whatever you think is going to happen. But if it was over 500, we would have known.
If it's less than 4-hour bus ride, it's a problem.
Exactly.
I'm talking from experience. Anytime you got to get on a plane to fly anywhere to play on Thursday, you're at a disadvantage. Right off the reel.
Wait till we get to the Rutgers rule. It's a whole different situation. There is college football tonight. Tulane in Houston at 8. Robbie's, oh, my God, he's so...
Scott Ed Oliver watch.
Ed Oliver.
He's all over it. And what do we got, a little Boise State, New Mexico?
That's tomorrow night.
Oh, that is tomorrow night.
You got to change the settings to FBS 1-8.
Did I hear this right? Is Boise State playing Florida State next year?
Ooh.
Ooh, I don't know. Robbie, get on that. Meanwhile, the Panthers, the streaking Panthers of Big Cat County playing in Columbus tonight at 7 o'clock.
Blessed by the waters of Finland.
There is something to that. We went through that yesterday, man.
They are playing, but they're playing in Jacksonville.
But that's not really a neutral site.
It's not a neutral site game, but it'll start the season.
Crazy. Anything else, Beast?
No, that's it.
When are these Marlins uniforms coming out? Are they supposed to come out this afternoon?
I don't know. I thought people are texting in, like, what do you think of the new Marlins uniforms? And I haven't seen them yet. So I don't. I mean, I have notifications all set up and ready to go, and I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I've seen some, like, the leak things, but I don't know what the official look is yet, so I can't judge.
Correct.
I mean, go off just renderings that may not be real on Reddit. Reddit's a dark place. I don't know.
It's a wormhole.
I don't know what I'm looking at, if it's real or not. I know it's probably not going to be as sweet as the Vice uniforms, but then again, the Vice uniforms haven't led to wins, so who knows? Who knows? Back to normal last night, and then they get a win. So who knows? Who knows anymore? It's crazy to me. All right, so we're live here from the Seminole Hard Rock Event Center for the Rock and Roll Poker Open. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit more of the Canes as they get ready for Virginia Tech this week. Nikosi Perry with some interesting comments leading up to this one. Damian Lewis is guest hosting with us as Leroy's out for the next couple days. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome on back, everybody. Toby, Leroy, and Beast. Damian Lewis is in for Leroy today. Thank you for joining us. Good day in. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you again.
So, nice heat win yesterday. Now, tonight there's some big basketball action. You got the Warriors at the Rockets, and it has been snooped out, guys. Kevin Durant and Draymond Green haven't seen talking. It seems like in a friendly matter, they're all on the court right now. They're the only two Warriors working out on the court right now. So it seems like they're putting on a good face after all everything that blew up. Did you see that, Damian? Whole thing that went down? That was crazy.
Yeah, I think it's just a heat of a moment type of deal. You know, some words kind of said that didn't need to be said. I don't feel like the whole, you know, KD not coming back as a free agent. How you know? You know, they just got into it. And we all know Draymond Green, and we all know Kevin Durant's not going to back down from anything Draymond Green has to say. So, you know, you just have a heated word and debate. You know, he should have passed the ball, and he didn't. It is what it is. It's water under the bridge, man.
He made a bad mistake. Draymond made a bad basketball mistake.
He didn't pass the ball.
But it's a November game against the Clippers, and my thing with it was yesterday, and I got into a big debate with Leroy about this, was Draymond, to me, is the heartbeat of that team. He's also the guy that kind of opened the door for KD to get there. And I know it's a big burden to ask Kevin Durant to be on your team. I'm sure it was a huge ask by him. But even still, he did open the, it was a weird thing for everybody because he was on the team. We beat you guys in the playoffs. It's still something you probably don't even, you know, register as a star. Like, oh, am I really going to be able to go to the Warriors? So I just thought, like, hey, man, cut him a little slack. He made a basketball mistake. Don't embarrass the guy. Like, he's a former defensive player of the year. He's got credentials. Not like you're making fun of the backup point guard or ridiculing that guy.
You're a man with pride too, huh?
And so Kevin Durant's just but Kevin Durant's at this point, like, hey, I'm Kevin Mother Bleeping Durant. I'm the second best player in the
I'm
league.
I'm the booger with the sugar.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt bad for Draymond in some ways because everybody was kind of dumping him. I'm like, yeah, you dummy. How could you not throw it to Kevin Durant? It's like,
you ain't made a shot all night.
He's not a bum. Like, he can go and make a pass.
He's a knucklehead. He's the guy that kicks people in the nuts.
You kick a couple people in the nuts, and then you got no basketball credit anymore?
Okay, no. He gets basketball credit, but listen, he's not number one option.
Andrew Wiggins did it last night. He got an A1 off of it.
He's not number two option. Is he number three option? Not even.
No.
So, like, come on, man.
He's the fourth option.
Come on.
Yeah.
No,
so
I will
if
not.
Gonna penetrate, come on, man. This is all it is. He penetrate. He thought he could have got in, got a layup or whatever. Kick the ball out. You're supposed to penetrate and kick. That's all it is to it.
Well,
you got KD and you got Thompson on the court. You're not supposed to be shooting the ball. Sure. Well, that's just the rule.
There's a couple ways it's going to go. Like, it's either going to be real frosty on the court, which, based on the pregame behavior, probably is not going to be like that. Seems like it's going to be a little bit more friendly. What you should do is give all the first shots to Draymond. Just start, like, let everybody find Draymond early on in the game against Houston.
That's what we all fail to see. They hashed all this stuff out the night of or the next morning during shoot around. I mean, this is a non-issue at this point.
Yeah, but they did suspend him. They did.
Yeah,
like, they
because,
did
dude, shut your mouth. What you talking about free agency for? Like, seriously, you going to throw that shot out there?
That's all.
Where you going to be at next year, KD? Like, you can't do that.
That's off limits?
That's called hating.
D-Lou.
That's hating.
D-Lou,
you don't hate.
I need to bring you inside our circle of trust.
Okay,
so our producer back here, Robbie, he's very afraid of everything. So You were just talking in your Texas accent mixed with a little North Carolina that you got going on. And Robbie, you said shout. He thought you said something else, and the sweat is dripping down his face.
Yeah, after review, it was legal. Robbie, it was legal. Robbie, it was legal.
I do not cuss on the air.
Yeah, don't be nervous.
The only thing
man.
I'm gonna say is hail in
legal. Totally legal.
He's like Mills Lane. I'll allow it.
Yeah, that's it. The SH word won't fall. I promise you.
Yeah, man. So that's my only thing is I get it. If you did recruit him, and you brought him kind of into the Warriors, the Warriors circle.
I'm being reprimanded. Like I just went to the principal's office.
Don't, yeah.
Like, hey, don't worry about my Southern accent.
I'm not reprimanding you. I'm just letting you know, like the inside of the show is that Robbie is eternally nervous.
If he hears you dragging out your F too long, he's one to like dump you. Just had to dump you. I said feather, Robbie. Sorry.
Rules are rules.
Right. I mean, Robbie believes that his career will end when Deadspin, which I don't even know if that exists anymore.
It still does.
When Deadspin writes an article that includes producer Robert Campbell failed to hit the dump button. Like, that's how he believes his career is going to end.
He thinks he's going to get taken away in handcuffs by the FCC. Like,
right,
that's
correct.
That's the world he lives in.
Okay, Robbie, I got you. I'll enunciate. I won't talk
about Southern slang. Talk like you've been doing. talk like you've been doing. It's a minor sweat.
Okay.
Let's get to some Canes here. So Nakosi Perry, he was at practice yesterday, and they were asking everybody, like, how is everything gone for you? Because he was getting high praise from Coach Richt after this last game. He says, you know, played well. Thought he played his tail off. Didn't make too many mistakes. Pretty careful game other than fumbling football. But, it's obviously been a big yo-yo thing, and there's been a huge debate on this show, Damian, as far as, like, the handling of the quarterback. But the young fella talked to reporters yesterday and said that, some things have changed since the initial benching has happened.
Definitely the studying part on my own, not just in meetings, not just in a facility, but on my own. I feel like that was the main goal, and not just watching it by myself, but getting the players involved. This week, been really well. Practice been great, I feel like. I've been a lot more energetic, a lot more positive with the team, and I feel like it's rubbing off on everybody.
So he's studying a lot more, which is good. Yeah, bringing his work home with him, which is good.
Very good.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I know Romber kind of rolled his eyes at that this morning because he was like, oh, well, thank you. I'm glad that light bulb went
Appreciate
off.
Appreciate that.
But.
It did.
At least it is.
Better late than never.
Exactly.
Some guys that never get it.
See, I'm on team Nikosi the whole way. I like Malik Rozier. I appreciate what he did last year and the whole run and all. But it kind of looked like it hit
the ceiling. But you were blindly on Team Nikosi. Like, you were just like, so oh, what? So he's got a gun. Like, yeah, there's D-Lou, explain to him. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have guns for arms, but if they can't hit the water from the side of a boat, it doesn't matter.
Does not matter at all. And remember a few weeks back when we had Ryan Collins on the show and we all did the Canes show together.
Yeah.
And he talked about being a leader. What was the number one thing he said that quarterbacks lead have to do? They have to study, know what's going on the field, and get guys lined up and be able to move his offense around. Did he not say that?
That is correct.
And be able to get matchups that he wants. You can't do that if you don't study. How do you know to bring a center, you know, from outside of the numbers to inside of the numbers to set up a slant or set up an out if you don't study and know what the defense is in? So that's just the next step to being a good quarterback. So thank you, Nikosi, for figuring that part of it out.
Yeah.
Now what we need you to stop doing is stop tweeting. Need you to get off tweet, you know, with the $100 bills. We need to get that done. So once we get all that done and we got a quarterback that we see on the field on Saturday and no other time, that's when we got something going.
Yeah,
so you need to be studying and staying out the streets.
There needs to be new rules for today's day and age. Like, on Instagram, just because you have a pile full of cash on your lap does not mean that's your cash. It does not mean that's drug cash. He could just be showing out because it's Instagram.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying, I see a lot of people on Instagram showing that they got a lot of stuff.
This?
Yeah. I don't think it's that big a deal.
I think it's a huge big – it's a massively
it's
big deal.
It's an outbreak. He goes in
if you're a defensive lineman out hanging with your homeboys doing it. It's another thing if you're an offensive lineman. But if you are the leader of the football team, you don't participate in those type of activities.
That's
you just
not fair.
Don't do it. Hey, guess what? There's a lot of things in life ain't fair, right?
Sure.
We ain't all created equal either, are we? If you're the quarterback, you're not the same as a receiver.
Sure.
You're not the same as anybody else. You are the quarterback.
But life's got some growing pains.
Quarterbacks have a way they have to act.
Life's got
that
some
is not acting like a quarterback. That's acting like a petulant child.
I think I would sit down. Yeah. Well, today,
and study.
Understood. Damn. But times change. And
no,
so
ain't no time changing on that. That's not. It's called maturity.
I understand.
And that's why his ass got to sit on the bench.
I understand.
Hey,
he wants maturity.
Tobin,
what?
You just got boxed in.
I didn't.
You got boxed
however,
in, bro.
However.
Bro, D-Lou.
Times have changed, Dave.
No.
D-Lou. Times
just
have changed.
Rushed up
no
the
times
field
have changed.
Times have changed.
And boxed
and
you in.
I'm telling you, those times will never change. And what's so crazy about it, I'm surprised. I bet 5 to 10 guys in that locker room stepped up to him and said, bro, what you doing? You the quarterback. You can't be doing that.
But like, the guy
you can you the face of the football team
understood.
Newly.
But here's the
you
thing.
You can't do that.
Here's the thing. The guy who's behind him or the guy who's ahead of
who
him
cares?
He's terrible.
It's not about what he is. It's, we're looking at the future. If they're saying the Cozy Perry is going to be the future of this football team, then you better start acting like the future of this football team. The future of this football team is not on Instagram. He's not on Twitter.
But do
he's
we think-
not paying attention to all that. But you know why? Because he don't have time because he's going to class. And then he is studying what he's at school to do, which is play football.
Yeah, but do
he's
we know that he knows that? Like,
if you don't know, now you know, brother.
Yeah, but in the situation we've been with the quarterbacks, like
saying, sit down.
Because Mark Rick's got this weird thing. I call it the Rick complex. All right.
Oh Jesus.
Okay, what's the Rick complex?
No, this should be good.
Right. I'm waiting.
This should be good.
I'm waiting.
When Rick was at the University of Miami, all right,
as a quarterback.
Felt very confident in his abilities.
40 years ago.
However.
Yeah, 40 years.
However, mm-hmm. he was there when Jim Kelly was a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Jim Kelly was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was there. Vinny Testaverde was the guy.
Yeah.
Bernie Kosar.
Then he went to Denver. Denver. John Elway was the guy.
Yeah.
Never got his shot. So I feel like Rick never gives anybody the opportunity to
he
be the guy.
That's why he's
yo-yos.
An offensive coordinator now. You know why? Because he was sitting in those film rooms mm-hmm. with Jim Kelly. He sat in that film room with Vinny Testaverde. And then he went to Denver and sat in that film room with John Elway. Mm-hmm. And John Elway had a stiff drink in the cup with a little chaser. And they put the game plan in. Him and the offensive coordinator, they sit down and they went through the game plan because John Elway was going to run what he knew was going to work against
right.
the defense. So guess who learned that from him? Mark Rick.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Yeah, but what,
I feel like that's been a lifetime kind of rift as he has as
what's
never
the
being – Well, he's never been the starting quarterback in his playing days.
But he's
so
been
now,
a heck of a quarterback developer. He's
yeah,
that good.
Hey, sure.
Stafford's playing on Sunday. That's one.
Everybody goes to Stafford. It's great. You lured in one big fish.
Wait,
that's fantastic.
Hold on.
You can't selectively
I just
talk
did.
About the content. You know,
no,
like,
I just did.
We're not going
to
talk
Brad
about
Kaya project. Kicked his ass to the curb. Never wanted Malik Rozier to be his quarterback and told like, everybody. Like, what are you even telling
Brad
reporters
Kaya
that for?
Got the short end of that stick, too. Had he stayed here, he might still be playing on Sunday.
Well,
instead of leaving early.
He broke his back. It was spinal. He's getting paid to sit on the couch.
Spinal.
Why are you a spinal?
No. I talked to him the other day. He's all good, man. He's on IR. He's fine.
Where he break his back at? What did happen?
I don't know. He's skateboarding or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kick, push, goes, huh?
If you're never the guy as a quarterback, I feel like you don't want to give that chance to anybody else. And so it's been like, maybe we'll go with Malik this week. Maybe we'll go with Nikosi this week. Nikosi, you had 4 drives against Virginia. Nah, I didn't like the way that looked. You get the
you
hell out
why?
Of there.
I'm going to tell you why we saw Malik Rozier again. The video.
That's it?
That's it. Had that video not cracked the surface, Malik wouldn't have got another start. I am willing to bet money on that.
Really?
Now, I don't
so?
Know if Mark going to ever
Nikosi's
say that.
Money?
I would be willing to bet money that the reason why that happened is because that video came out. You cannot allow the leader of your football team to be out doing stuff like that. That's just – it's uncalled
well,
for.
Well, wait a minute,
it.
Though. There's,
don't
there's,
do it.
Wait. There was also some scuttlebutt. And, you know, I'm not as close to the team as I used to be, but I hear some things about preparation – audibling into the wrong plays, not being able to read defenses, throwing it to the wrong place. Like,
but that's
there was,
the point.
There
when
was...
you count money, it's hard to study film when you count money, Beast. You got to count all that money. You
paper
know, you got to make the little money look like the card deck like these dudes doing over here right now in the poker tournament. You know, they flash and they got 5 cards and they got 5 bills.
It really was a lot of cash. It was like an accordion full of cash.
No, it was a money bag.
Like, Le'Veon Bell could use that cash.
It was SEC type
serious?
Money. What?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
You did say that.
Yeah. 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 I approve.
We all on air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're on.
Like that. Ratrick Rederson.
What about what you've seen with Nikosi? Do you think there is enough talent there to know that that guy can develop into anything, or do you think there's too many inconsistencies and they really just need to go purely into like competition mode for this thing next year?
I think there is enough talent there, but they also need to go into competition mode. You know what? Okay, you're showing the signs now, but show me this is really you. Show me this is the new you. You will earn everything you get from this point forward. And that's, I think that's a big problem with a lot of the young quarterbacks coming out now. They think that things are supposed to be gifted to them. And it's not just quarterbacks. It's a lot of positions. Mm-hmm. You know, you tell a guy, we want you to come in and work hard and be a starter. They hear come in and they hear starter, but they forget the work hard part. Mm-hmm. Football not easy. And nothing is given to you in this game. So he got an opportunity, and he blew it the first time. Fortunately, he's playing again. He's competing against somebody who's necessarily not as talented as he is. So he's getting another opportunity to prove himself again. So with that, he needs to take this foot forward and develop as a quarterback. He's got to do his part. This can't all be on Mark Richt. You know, all he can do is lead him to water. He can't make him drink. He can't make him go out and be the quarterback he needs to be. That has to come off his own sweat and his own brow. So he's got to figure out what it takes to help him become a better player and a better leader and a better quarterback for the football team, because the team is dependent on it. If he doesn't develop, we're going to have, you know, mediocre seasons the whole time he's here, and then until we get another quarterback. If that quarterback doesn't develop, guess what? Mediocrity. It's all based off the arm of the quarterbacks that's coming to these schools, especially with the way they run offenses nowadays.
Right.
As simple as that.
He's Damian Lewis. He's hanging out with us up until 3 o'clock today. Leroy's out the next couple of days. We are live from the Seminole Hard Rock Event Center as they have the Rock and Roll Poker Open going on now. It has started up this week, and it is packed here. Everybody is getting in on the action. We'll be back right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. Leroy's out the next couple of days. So we got Damian Lewis, former Miami Hurricane, joining us. It's been a lot of fun so far. He is hotly into the debate. You fit in well here already, Damian, with the banter. I like it. But you didn't box me in the first segment. That did not happen. I don't care what B says. Now tonight, we got some NFL action. We got Seattle at Green Bay. But yesterday we had the news of Le'Veon Bell that it was official. He was done. And a lot was made that the Steelers went and raided his shoes and his suits.
Absolutely.
Now, is this a controversial thing, or is that just what happens? Like, they're just shoes for the taking because he's not coming back.
He's not coming back. Shoes for the taking.
Shoes are for the taking.
Hey, if you wear a size 12, you got a cousin to wear a size 12. They came up yesterday.
Was crazy.
And they Jordans, too. He got that good contract.
Yeah, man. What was the craziest? Have you been around a crazy holdout situation ever in your NFL career?
No, I mean, back then, you know, the worst we'd have was Orlando Pace would hold out every year for training camp, and he'd always sign, you know, right before that last preseason game.
So just get a vet move.
Yeah, get a week of practice in, and then he's ready to go week one. You know, but that was Big O. Big O was smooth as coffee when he passed that now.
This one's a wild one because, you know, Le'Veon Bell is, I mean, arguably the best at this position.
Yeah.
But you know that position, you know, treated the way it is and franchises not want to invest in it. And then they come back and it seems like the guy that got James Conner's really damn good.
They found a diamond in the rough.
They really did.
Let's just call it a spade a spade now. Yeah. They clearly could be the other way.
So
where they can't run the ball and they're not having that type of production.
True. So. And I don't know how this is going to end up working for him, because
I think it's gonna work out just fine.
You think he's gonna get a big deal?
I do.
Good.
You know, I mean, it's finally happened. So if this works out in the way that I think it is, where he's gonna get somewhere in the ballpark of what he's looking for, he's gonna get a long-term deal, and somebody's gonna be really happy that they picked him up and have him on their football team, because he's gonna be productive. Like, this is Le'Veon Bell we're talking about. This guy's not a bum. He's got a year off. He's been able to rest his body. He's been down here in South Florida back and forth working out. So he's going to be ready to go for the 2019 season, without a doubt.
Right.
So whoever signs him know they have an A1 player. So that part of it is going to work out. But the Steelers got lucky in the sense that they have a young player that they drafted who they're paying a rookie salary.
Right.
So they don't have to take the running back hit that they're going to have to take by bringing him in and signing him to a long-term deal. So both sides win in this particular instance.
Yeah, it just drives me nuts that in this, you know, it's like sometimes I watch in the NBA, it's like you see guys that just get crazy deals and guys are getting max here, max there.
And guaranteed now.
And
come
guaranteed.
On now. Let's keep it up.
And so Le'Veon Bell does as good a job as you can do at that position just because of the way the system is set up. You have to have this kind of a thing go on. It's wild to me.
And the worst part about it is that he takes a beating from the fans because he decides to look out for himself.
Yeah.
And take care of his business.
Right.
You know, the first thing you want to say when guys are, oh, you need to take care of your business. You need to do this. You need to do that. Well, you have a small window to do that. And he's doing it. Mm-hmm. And he's the best in the business at what he does. And we all understand that. And 2019 is going to pay dividends for him.
Because
it is what it is.
Because, you know, I have the feeling, like, I hope that he does get that monster contract, but I feel like the way this league is, they're going to be like, yeah, but you didn't play football last year.
There's the whole, yeah.
So, like, will, you know, maybe you just show us that you still got it, like, you've taken the time
off.
Anybody
knows.
Do you think there's going to be the kind of like the not talked about collusion against Le'Veon Bell?
Why? Well, I mean, he's not done anything to where he's bought, you know.
Yeah, but you know how these owners are, though. It's like, how dare the player not do this? Blah.
But here's a guy. He hasn't done anything wrong.
That's true.
He hadn't gotten any trouble. He's been, you know, an excellent citizen, so to speak. You know, he's just doing his job. So why get mad at a guy who's making a business decision to say, hey, I'm not going to put my career on the line for 14 point whatever million. I want a long-term deal. And if that means I got to sit out for all of a season to get it, then I'm willing to do that.
Because
he's the first of his kind to do so.
Yeah, but D-Lew, the bottom line is, and I feel like it's this in all leagues, is the owners don't like it when the players have power. And Le'Veon Bell has just
change at a time, beast.
You won't get 20 million.
How are you going to collude against a guy who's done everything right? How are you not going to pay a guy or, you know, reward a guy who took a year off? It's no different than having an ACL injury. The only thing he's done, he set out minus the injury.
No.
He said, I don't want your money.
He sat out willingly because it was his power to do so, not because an injury kept him out.
Yeah, I don't want your money. I want a contract. So if you're not going to pay me what we think is fair market value, then I'll just wait to 2019. Most people, oh, he's going to wait the week 10 and then he's going to come in. He said, no, brother, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I find frustrating. If you were a Steelers fan, why wouldn't you want your team to be like, all right, clearly you're not going to invest in him. You're not going to invest in him. Why don't you get something for him? Like, why can't you find a team that wants to invest in Le'Veon Bell and get something for him?
For the first time, the fans and the people around the country who watch football were put in a situation of what they felt and what they thought didn't matter anymore. This was truly a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
Ownership decided not to pay the man, and he called their bluff and decided not to come in. Hey, this is business.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the real world works. These guys are sharks in their own right. That's why they all own football teams.
Yeah.
So now we got a guy who's a shark in his own right in football. He's the best in the business, and now he says, hey, I'm calling your bluff. I'm not coming in. So I'm going to go somewhere else freely, come free agency next year, and you're not going to get anything for it. You're not going to be able to trade me away. I'm going to be able to make a decision on where I want to go play. And guess what? I may not get the money that I was expecting to get or wanted to get from you guys, but I'm definitely going to get more than what you guys are willing to give me in the form of a guaranteed contract come 2019. So anyway it goes, he wins.
Do you think there's going to be any type of changing in the way the system is as far as things go for position? Like, we had John Clayton on this morning. He was talking about, remember, like, he wanted to even get paid like a wide receiver because of how much they'll diversify him and put him out wide on certain mm-hmm. times like that. Because we see in this league, like, man, you could be an average to below average quarterback, and you'll get the $20 million guaranteed at some point for it. And it just seems so messed up because you can be not great at your job, and teams are just going to still roll the dice on you because you're the quarterback. Somebody has to roll on you. Like you were saying a segment ago, that's the QB. That's the position. But
yep.
Le'Veon Bell, could be argued, has been more relevant to their success recently than Big Ben has.
Yeah, you can say that, but Big Ben is Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy. He's the guy called on the plays.
Sure.
He touches the ball every snap. The only person who touches the ball more than him is the center. You know, so here's a guy who literally he's the operating chief of your football team. He's the COO. He does everything that your team needs done on the field. That's his position. A running back, you're going to get the ball, you know, 25, 30 times a game, period. You know, it's 70 snaps.
Yeah, but for me, I look at it and be like, the 30 times that he gets the ball,
something happened.
It's going to be more valuable than, like, the 70 times Joe Flacco has the ball.
Yeah, that's Joe Flacco. That's not Ben Roethlisberger.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. In the balance of the league, it's like, man, you could be Eli Manning getting all the money that he does, and it's like he could be the reason you lose.
Because typically the most valued position on a football team is the quarterback position.
Sure.
So if you're the most valued, obviously you make the most money.
Yeah. And put it this way, are the Steelers better off? Are the Steelers better off without Ben Roethlisberger and Joshua Dobbs at quarterback, but have Le'Veon Bell at running back, or are they better off with Big Ben and James Conner?
At this point right now, they're better off with Big Ben, no matter how you put it. Big Ben is the chief operating officer of the football team, and that's just what it is. So they're still having success. They're still moving the ball down the field. It doesn't really matter to Big Ben who the running back is so long as he has some skill. He can fill in the blanks for the rest because he knows he has an arm. He can maneuver his way through the pocket, and he can make plays. No different than what he did against the Panthers. Big Ben killed the Panthers last weekend. Or last Thursday, he absolutely destroyed him. Mm-hmm. And then the way he maneuvered through the pocket, negated the rush, able to dump the ball off to the backs, and you know hit the big plays down the field to Antonio Brown. He just did a great job of doing his job. So you have guys got like that, man. It doesn't matter who you have at running back. It's just like when you look at Tom Brady. How many running backs has he had over 18 years?
Tons.
Countless. The one that we remember more than anything is Kevin Falk because he's the guy who stayed there the longest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the rest of the guys have just been guys, and he's made it work. So when you have a guy who can run the football team and operate the football team in that manner, then it doesn't matter who you have at running back because he's going to make every player on that field look a notch better than what they really are.
But there are exceptions to every rule. Like, shouldn't there be, like, if it's a guy who's as good as him, like, I don't feel like there should be this grand question of, I know Le'Veon Bell's going to be good. Because, you know, if you're going to say wear down, tear, injury, like, man, that can happen anywhere. Like, right. We're seeing a ton of quarterbacks go down year after year after year,
yep.
And the comebacks they have to make. And so that to me, the game has become such a, you know, such a collision course every single week of guys just it almost seems like attrition. We're watching what's going on with the Dolphins this year. And, like, somebody they're dropping, like, flies every single week,
man.
All over the field.
Yeah.
And to me, I get Le'Veon's frustration, and it seems like the only reason that this is a debate is because he's a running back.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, because a quarterback wouldn't be in this situation.
Right.
He'd have been paid a long time ago. And then, you know, when you look at teams like the Saints, they have two running backs,
yep.
Who are starters in anywhere else in the league.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they can rotate who starts one week throughout the next, and there's no drop-off no matter who's on the field. They have a very unique situation, but guess what? When it comes time to guys getting paid, that's going to break that little house party up.
Yeah.
You know, because Alvin Kamara is going to get what he deserves. Because, I mean, he's from scrimmage right now, he has 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. Did it faster than any running back in the nation, in the league over his rookie season. Did it quicker than anybody. So he did it in one season and 3 games. He had 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Nobody else has ever done that. So he's going to be asking for market value. And Le'Veon Bell's situation helps him out.
Damian Lewis is hanging with us today's show. We're live from the Seminole Hard Rock Event Center for the Rock and Roll Poker Open. We'll be back with some headlines right after this.